luck is something that you make your own luck, but I think you do that by never giving up. Because, you know, saying I'm lucky today, it's relative, isn't it? It's all relative in time. Anything can happen tomorrow, and I'm the most unluckiest person in the world. But that point in time, I may be. And I think that's the way you've got to approach it. You know, look at luck as just a moment in time. And that if you keep going, you'll I think over a longer period of time, you'll say, yeah, pretty lucky.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. This is Ben Morton, and welcome to episode 49 of the podcast. In this episode, we are talking about moving from being a leader or manager who focused largely on the numbers to being a true leader who focuses largely on the people and as such is able to shift the numbers in the right direction with Bridge Fanke, the founder and CEO of Precision Facilities Management. Precision FM is a fast-growing SME with its total focus on its employees, who in turn have a total focus on their customers. Bridge has the aspiration of building the most employee-centric company in the country, delivering exceptional facilities management, which he plans to do by recruiting and developing brilliant people to deliver outstanding customer service. The company was set up in Leicester in 2012, and they offer a total facilities management service spanning the entire building and property management environment. They're experienced in developing facilities management services to many different sectors, from commercial maintenance, defence facilities, public sector services, and beyond. And they handle all of the complexities of specialised buildings and their operations. Before we get into the interview, let me just tell you about the competition that I'm running to win one of three sets of the five most recommended books by the guests that I've had on the show. Plus, I'll also throw in my two books into the bundle. All you have to do to enter is complete the listener survey, which should take you literally no more than 2 minutes, via the link in the show notes, and then we'll do a prize draw and announce the winners in late September. So, with the introduction and competition news done, let's dive straight in, folks, and please enjoy my conversation with Bridge Fanke, the CEO and founder of Precision Facilities Management. Bridge, a very warm welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you with us today. Before we dive into the questions, could I just ask, how are you and how's your week been?
Hi, Ben. Look, firstly, thank you so much for inviting me on. I've listened to a few of your sessions over the last few weeks, and I'm really happy to be here. And hopefully I can add to some of those. So the week itself has been good. It's been good. It's been challenging like it normally is. However, it's always good to know that you're getting things off your shoulders and off your desk, and things are moving in the right direction. So yeah, it's been a challenging week, but also very satisfying.
Good, that's good to hear. And I guess speaking about a good but challenging week, I should probably ask you the context question that I ask every guest, which is, can you just tell us a little bit about what you do now, and a fairly short version, if you can, of the career journey or the journey that's got you there, please.
Yeah, sure. So I'm CEO, founder, and owner of Precision Facilities Management. We provide total facilities management services throughout the UK and in Ireland now. And we're coming up close to sort of 10 years in business. So exciting times. And previously, I've been fairly lucky. I've held C-level positions in larger corporate businesses, various types of businesses. I learned a lot, and some of that, I guess, I've sort of brought to my own business now.
And Bridge, when we spoke earlier this week, sort of having our pre-call catch-up, something happened that is so often the case for me with these podcasts, in that kind of we had a great chat and kind of you shared loads of things, and I come away thinking, oh, I just should have hit record on that pre-call because there was so much good stuff in there. But one of the things from that I wanted to ask you about again is that you spoke about how when you sort of stepped out of working for somebody in that corporate world and founded Precision Facilities Management, it just took you a while, I think you said, to adjust and find that leadership approach and style that would work for you when you was leading and building your own business. Can you just kind of, if you can remember, share a little bit about what we spoke about?
Oh, look, I remember it well. And obviously it's something that I always sort of reflect on. And I was very, very fortunate in my career. I worked with some fantastic people, really inspirational people, who taught me a lot and gave me a lot of opportunities to progress. When I set up Precision with one of my colleagues, my current colleagues, I had this thing where I'd been very successful previously. You know, I was recognized by my previous employers. It was something that I thought was pretty straightforward to do. And I sort of went into it with a lot of sort of preconceptions around how business would be. And, you know, my background is very much a numbers person. And I was always somebody who would look at the numbers and see, yeah, that's success. And that was a bit of an issue in the early days, in the sort of first five, six years, really. And every time there were, you know, numbers weren't doing what they were doing, I was sort of changing everything around me to try and, you know, impact the numbers. And it wasn't working. And it wasn't until I sort of, I joined a couple of groups, CEO groups, mainly because being a business person or a business owner can be quite a lonely place. And I wanted something where I could, you know, sort of meet other people who have similar strains and similar things to myself, I guess. And I joined a group called Vistage, and I started to think about things in a different way, read different books, listen to different people, get myself a mentor. And what I started to do was change myself rather than anybody around me. And I sort of did that, and it was quite difficult to do, you know. As I tried to sort of change my way of thinking, I realized that actually, you know, I concentrated more on people rather than the numbers. The numbers would be a result of having great people. And as I started to sort of, you know, progress that and put that through my business, I started to see some really, really, really good results. So I guess now I'm very much more a people person than I am a numbers person. I mean, you know, I still know my numbers really well. And, you know, Precision has always been a business that's always focused on the customer. But what we do here now is we focus on our employees, which in turn gives us, you know, fantastic services to our customers.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, Bridge, but as I was listening to you talk and thinking about sort of my work and some of my beliefs around leadership and such like, it sounded to me like in those, I think you said first four years or so, when you're heavily focused on the numbers, to me that sounds like you're probably doing a lot of great management, maybe not so much leadership. And through working on yourself, getting those mentors, joining the Vistage group, that shifted and you started to put a lot more emphasis on leading. Is that how you see it? Would you agree or have a different take?
Yeah, I think so. I think also, you know, when in those first sort of few years, I guess I was probably a bit more, I was too hands-on, and that might sound strange, but when you're bringing in good people, you've got to sort of let them get on with it and let them advise you. Whereas, you know, you could be quite precious about the fact that it's your business and it's, you know, it's all your stress, it's all your, you know, your security and all the rest of it. And I think in those early days, I was probably too involved in some of the sort of operational aspects. And it wasn't until I sort of, you know, decided that actually I've got some great people here. I just need to find a way of how I can develop a plan that allows them to, you know, really flourish and let's take their advice. And you know, if things don't work out, it's okay. We find a way. And when I started to do that, it allowed me to sort of step back. I'm very lucky. I don't get involved with any operational items in the business anymore. I really do have a business where I work, you know, on the business rather than in it. That does allow us to grow. You know, we've done acquisitions recently. We're up for a lot of awards this year. I think we're up for 3 awards with the Chamber of Commerce. You know, and I've put in some sort of key areas within the business that protects, you know, our biggest asset. And our biggest asset isn't on the balance sheet. It's people. We provide people, skills, and solutions. So I've decided to protect that in the best way I think is possible. And, you know, we've created share option schemes, there's bonus schemes, a percentage of the profits of the business all get put aside, and the guys, there's a model by which people get various percentages and they all share in that. Obviously, during COVID, we had to be quite innovative as to how we motivate our employees because we had to work. So we introduced additional holidays for everybody. We put a healing hub, which is like a mental health support, online support network through the business. I personally and my senior management team will as well have done courses in being first aiders within mental health. And, you know, so it's not just sort of the physical side that's important. It's also, you know, if you want real productivity, real efficiency, you've got to look at the framework of your employees. And, you know, are they in the right frame of mind to perform, you know, day in, day out and improve and give you productivity. So I've invested in people in that way. And it's proving, you know, it's proving successful.
Yeah, I think that was one of the reasons really that made me want to get in touch and invite you onto the show, Bridge, because we connected because I stumbled upon an article profiling you in the CEO magazine. And one of the main things that struck me from that interview that you gave was just this real belief, probably passion, I think is how it came across, for giving those within the business opportunities and developing them. And again, when we caught up earlier in the week, you shared a wonderful story about the lady who will have answered the phone to me when I called the main office number. And when you shared that story, it just really sort of resonated with and rang true what I'd read in that article. And again, I wonder, can you just share a little bit around that particular example and the philosophy that you have around really giving people opportunities to grow and flourish within the business?
Yeah, I'm a strong believer of training and development. However, what we try and do is not only just sort of train and develop, but also make sure that there's opportunities for those people to really develop. Because you're only really going to develop if you're put into, you know, into those roles which allows you to demonstrate your abilities. So, you know, we decided that you know, earlier on, that any opportunities that we have when there's growth in the business or there's new roles within the business, that we'll promote from within rather than, you know, going outside and bringing additional people in. Yeah, we do bring people in, but they sort of fit into a various structure where, you know, those who are developing and are doing really well get those opportunities. When I'm recruiting and when we're recruiting here, you know, we're always saying to people, we're a growing business, and we want to do this, we want to do that. So, you know, we're making certain promises to people as they come into the business. So, you know, I see it as my job and my senior team's job to make sure that we deliver on those promises. And those promises are that those opportunities for people to grow into will be there. And that's one of the things I think I worry about the most is, you know, can I grow, you know, quick enough or large enough that the people that are here and those who may come in the future have those opportunities. And the lady who answered the phone, you know, just in case she's listening to this and thinks that there's a job for her later on down the line, that's a great example of somebody who I think is a hidden gem. And what I mean by that is that somebody who may be in traditional, stereotypical ways of recruitment would, you know, in a larger business, maybe not get those opportunities. But, you know, I took that lady on a few years ago now, I'll be honest with you, she is somebody who, you know, in the future, when I think about the future, and I have the opportunity, you know, I'm lucky enough to be able to think about what happens next, and, you know, where people may fit in and how I'll develop the business. You know, she's somebody who I think would be a prime candidate for, you know, a number one position here. And that's taking somebody who was, you know, working on a shift on a call center, and in a few years is already operations in a senior operations role here now, but not just stopping there, keep going. And I guess that's a little bit of luck there, because, you know, in a traditional recruitment sense, I would have thought that person would have been successful, you know, a successful applicant in getting the job. But we took that person on, and he was very quiet initially, and he's still, you know, still very much an introvert. However, the skills are fantastic, and the skills have been taught over a period of time. We give them confidence. I suppose the key thing is that the will's there. You know, the person's got to have the will. And as long as the person's got the will, we can teach them the skill and give them confidence to do something really, really exciting with their lives, you know?
Yeah, I love that. And Bridge, you've used the word luck quite a lot. You said, I was lucky, I'm lucky enough to, and again, we touched on this briefly before we hit record. It's a bit of a theme that crops up, as I was saying to you. Like, what's your view on luck in business, or being lucky as a leader?
I think I'm lucky. I guess I'm lucky enough that I don't give up. You know, I've seen hard times where it doesn't affect me. I'm mentally a lot stronger as a person, and as a leader. You know, I like to lead from the front. I guess when I see, you know, employees or people around me in general that I know, or people that I could help, you know, I sort of, you know, understand the mentality, and that luck is something that you make your own luck. But I think you do that by never giving up, because, you know, saying I'm lucky today, it's relative, isn't it? It's all relative in time. Anything can happen tomorrow, and so I'm the most unluckiest person in the world. But that point in time, I may be. And I think that's the way you've got to approach it. You know, look at luck as just a moment in time, and that if you keep going, you'll I think over a longer period of time, you'll say, yeah, I'm pretty lucky.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have a very shared view, and kind of what you said really is why I asked the question. Many years ago, I used to have this phrase I'd often say, which was, there's no such thing as luck, it's just timing and judgment. And of course, I think there probably is such a thing as pure luck in the world. But absolutely, I share your belief, I think, in that we make our own luck. And that could be, as you say, by never giving up. It could be by working hard. There's so many quotes by famous successful people along the lines of, the harder I work, the luckier I get, or the more I practice, the luckier I get, right? I think it's also sort of purposeful opportunism, maybe being clear what results you want, and then you more able to spot the opportunities when they crop up, right?
Yeah, I think personally, well, you know, luck is a derivative, I guess, of the decisions you make. You know, if you're going to make decisions, always try and make them when your mental state is in a sound place. And being a business owner, you know, it's very, very stressful. You've got to find ways of coping with that. And your anxiety is another area where I'm sure every business, not just every business owner, but anybody who's got any sort of ambition to achieve something or get something will suffer from anxiety at various different levels. You know, coping with those sort of things are really important. I guess I've found ways of doing that, which really, you know, it's just like a routine I have now, I guess. And, you know, I try never, ever to make decisions unless I'm in a, you know, in the right frame of mind.
Can you share a little bit about that, Bridge, kind of that, how you go about coping with the pressure and anxiety and getting in and making sure you're in a great state of mind? I'm sure that's something that we can all, as you alluded to, we can all resonate with, all experience that. I think that'd be fascinating if you could tell us some more about that.
I think what the sort of techniques I use are, you know, always try and sort of breathing. You've got to start with breathing. And it's funny, but, you know, learning to breathe is really, really important. You know, taking deep breaths, whether that be, you know, yoga or running or whatever it is that makes your body, in whatever you're doing, taking deep breaths. and you're getting all that oxygen into your body and removing toxins away from your body. Really, really important. I read. I work out 5 days a week now. My sort of day in the week is that every morning I will work out. Now I've got to a stage where, you know, I'm not doing it for body sculpting or anything like that, don't get me wrong, but I do it to fire up my brain. I have to do it. If I, you know, days I don't, like usually on the weekends, they'll, you know, unless there's something going on that's something to do with the kids or something, I notice it. I notice my brain sort of feeling, okay. I think that's really, really important. And sleep well, watch what you eat. And somebody said to me that if you can't look after yourself, how can you look after your staff and your customers? So
absolutely,
being healthy, it's always good to have a cheat day, as they put it. But it's important to generally be a good, healthy person and do the right things. So those are my big coping mechanisms. And it works. It does work. It allows me to think better, work longer. You know, my days usually finish about 9:30 in the evening, but I'm fine with that. It's good. I've got the energy to do so. And it does certainly help with things like anxiety and stress and the build up of all those things.
Yeah, I do a similar thing and absolutely have the same experience in that the days when I sort of don't do the majority of my morning routine and get some exercise in and carve out a little bit of quiet time to plan and reflect, etc. Absolutely are the days when I feel sluggish, not at my best, not on my A game, don't feel that productive. Absolutely. It's the often quoted airline oxygen mask analogy, right? Kind of secure your own mask first before trying to help other people. And Bridge, we're bouncing around a bit here, but the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is the organizational values you have. And I think you have three of them, which I love the fact that you have just three as opposed to the very typical five or six that most organizations and people seem to have. And I've got a few questions on those, but what I hadn't planned to ask, I'd love to ask first of all, is at what point in time did those values get created? And it's a leading question, really, because I'm curious where they came sort of alongside that personal journey that you went on. Was it sort of after that sort of 4-year point where you made a bit of a change in yourself, or were they in place before? Like what's the timeline?
So they've probably been around now for four years now. I suppose those sort of three core values is a reflection of where we've got to and who we are and how we sort of got here. And what we found is successful for us. What gives us an identity, I guess. And that's what the three that we came up with. And, you know, I sort of reflected back on, okay, well, you know, who are we? You know, I think it takes time to create your identity. You know, in a business like Precision, the identity is created by the people within it. And so, you know, that's where we came up with those. You know, and they now reflect, you know, anybody looking in, an external person looking in, whether it's a customer or whether it's somebody who's potentially looking for a career within the company, they get a good idea of, okay, well, you know, is that the kind of, you know, culture, or is that the kind of place I want to be? That's the three. And I kept it short because, you know, you can't be all things to all people. And I think the simpler you make it, more people will resonate with it. And so, yeah, I think we call them the three P's, and they're all really important to me. I guess that's the other thing. You know, it's something that I look at myself and say, yeah, that's something, and it's a bit of a journey that I've been on. I suppose I live and breathe that as me as an individual as well, not just, you know, people within the business, because I've had to change myself, I guess.
And what do you do to sort of bring them to life in the business? I think it's fair to say that the vast majority of organizations have a set of company values. They're pretty common in that respect. I think certainly in my experience, what is less common is the degree to which they are actually used, lived, breathed, or even, dare I say, kind of had much impact. So kind of how do they come to life?
Yeah, Ben, that's one of the reasons why, you know, I kept it down to, you know, three, because it becomes simpler. It becomes simpler to implement. It becomes simpler to ensure that, you know, you have got that throughout your organization, and people can work, you know, towards those values, and to keep it consistent, because we're a growing business. So, you know, we want to try and make sure that, you know, those are the values that we promote. Those are the values we want our staff to work towards. And, you know, we use various ways. I think culture is one of them, and it's, you know, something that's promoted right from the top. You know, I can have to go through them, you know, individually and talk about how we would do those. One of them is passion. And passion for me is something that comes from within. You know, I talked earlier about the will and the skill. Passion certainly is the will. And as long as we've got that and the people have got that, that's somebody who we think will demonstrate a good value of how we deliver our services. You know, I'd like to think that all of our employees will, and some of our supply chain as well, always have a passion for doing, you know, a fantastic service for our clients and to each other. So, you know, I think there's a lot of passion in the business. Personal development is certainly a journey I've been on, and I know a lot of my senior management team and some of our sort of site level staff have gone on that as well. And that's somebody who wants to, and you know, want to develop. And as a business, we promote things like continuous improvement, always looking for, you know, new ideas, innovation, challenging the norm, and, you know, working on a couple of exciting things at the moment, which, you know, take sort of old way of doing things in a sector that sometimes can pose risk to health and safety, and changing that using technology to, you know, bring new ideas where it might reduce, you know, the risk of somebody falling off a ladder. So, you know, it's always that, you know, development element really, really important. So last one was positivity and positive energy. And that's something that you know, I'm a forever optimist. I'm always optimistic, and I'll always be like that personally. And that's how we deal with problems here. So, you know, we always try and find a solution. It's not a blame culture. We don't blame, point fingers. We try and help each other out, and we always find a way. And you know, that's how we breathe sort of positivity through the organization. And that's the culture of Precision. You know, we'll always get there.
Yeah, I love that, and I think what you've just shared there, in my mind, I've got this picture of a little loop that I think really needs to exist to get the most out of people. So you've spoke so much around giving people opportunities to grow into, to shine and grow and develop. But I think, as you've said, that only works and can happen, right, if you've got a safe culture where there is no blame and finger pointing, because otherwise people would be too scared to try, because they might fail and it might have consequences. So it sounds like you've got this, like, just really effective kind of loop that kind of brings everything together.
Yeah, and I think that in a small business, you're going to be asking people to multitask. You know, you're going to put people out of their comfort zone the most of the time. Because, you know, you're not fortunate, I guess, to be in a larger company where you've got specialist people doing all these things, and in a smaller company, you know, you're going to have to wear, and not yourself, but a lot of people who work for you are going to have to wear those hats as well. For that, you've got to give them time. You can't point fingers. You don't sort of take the task away from them, because that could be demoralizing for somebody. Our approach to that is we sort of, you know, we come together at that point. Okay, how can we come through this? We're all, you know, the learning curve here for everybody, and that's the kind of sort of culture we'll have. And, you know, I can safely say I've got a lot of people here who now excel in some of those areas now, and they're really, really good. And that's come through being patient and giving people time, training, development, everybody learning together.
Yeah, love that. Bridge, one final question that I love to ask every single guest that comes on the show. What would you say is one of the books that you feel has had the biggest impact upon you, or perhaps the book that you find yourself recommending to other people the most?
Okay, so, you know, I'll have, there's one book which is, I guess, the book that I've read the most, and the one that I read time and time again. It's my go-to book, and you know, I know everybody has these, but there's a book by a lady called Nikki Owen, and it's called Charismatic to the Core. It's a book I read about, since COVID, you know, time frames have kind of gone out the window. But I think I read it about 4 years ago. 3 or 4 years ago, I was kind of introduced to it via a mentor. And for me, it's a book that talks about mentality. It's a book that talks about people and how, I guess, you get the best out of people by bringing to life their charisma. And I had a long debate with somebody quite recently that charisma is not something that's in everybody. I disagree with that. Charisma is in everybody. It's just that some people are conditioned in a certain way in their upbringing or stresses or situations that they've been in their life that, you know, they're not comfortable to be in their own energy. Charismatic Core is the book that I think is gives you a fantastic insight into all of that. If you're into things like mindfulness and things like that, I think it's yeah, really, really good.
Have you done Nikki's Talking to the Apple experiment?
Yeah, it works.
I heard her speak at a conference. Yeah, and for those that are interested, I don't know of her, we'll drop some links to her book and stuff in the show.
I do know Nikki as well. So I was quite fortunate to be in a speaker session in a CEO group that she was on. So I've kept in touch with her ever since. So it's
amazing.
Yeah, she's really amazing lady.
Yeah. She's got a great story, a great backstory as well.
Yeah.
Bridge, thank you so much for your time and joining us on the podcast today. I've loved talking to you. It's felt like the time has gone an instant. It's just been 2 minutes, but we've been going for nearly 35 minutes. So thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. And have a great day, whatever you're going on to do next.
Thanks, Ben. And look, listen, thanks for having me on. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I hope somebody gets some of this and do something exciting with it.
I hope you enjoyed that episode, folks, but more importantly, as always, I really hope you're able to go away and make some small positive changes as a result of what you just heard. And before you go, a few quick reminders for you. Please do take just 2 minutes to complete that podcast listener survey via the link in the show notes in order to be in with a chance of winning one of those free sets of the most recommended books by guests on the show. And if you are getting value from the show, please do take a couple of minutes as well to rate, review, and subscribe via iTunes or Apple Podcasts, as it really does help us to continue growing the podcast and bringing you more and more great interviews with leaders and subject matter experts. And finally, if you've still got time after all of that, please do stop by my website, www.ben-morton.com, to learn more about my work and how I may be able to support you now or in the future. That's it for this episode. I will see you again very soon. Take care and lead on.